Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, this is Lisa, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. We have a little bit of a different show today. So every once in a while, we have a circumstance where, you know, we have a guest that can't come on. That happened today. And I was hanging out with my pal, Anthony, who's my studio engineer here at Empower Radio. And he said, why don't we talk about you? You're so interesting. Let's talk about what it's like to be a psychic. So give the listeners an opportunity to get to know you better. So that's what we're going to do tonight. So thanks for that awesome idea, Anthony. And hi.
Hello, Lisa.
So what should we talk about?
Well, I've always been curious. When did you first realize that spirits were communicating with you? How did that start with you?
It's kind of a funny story, and I think I was born that way, honestly, Anthony, and I believe that I was one of the vanishing twin people. So vanishing twins is a phenomenon when you have a twin that dies, and I know that happened to me. So I had a twin brother that died somewhere inside the pregnancy.
Okay.
And when you have, you know how twins are connected, like mind to mind?
Yes. Right?
They have this telepathic or soul connection. And so when my twin brother died in utero, that part of me that was he crossed over to the other side, and that part of me that was connected to him went with him, you know? And
okay.
So I think I was literally born psychic. And I remember my very, very first memory ever was lying in my crib and seeing all these people standing around me, blowing kisses and talking to me, and all this light and glitter. And then my mom walked into the room and walked towards the crib, and they all disappeared.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's my very first memory.
Wow, okay. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I know what you're talking about with the whole twins thing. I actually have two of my brothers. They're twins, and I was old enough to kind of watch them when they were younger, and I would watch these silent conversations between the two of them, and they would do things like push the chair across the floor and climb on each other to get to the cookie jar and things like that. So I get the whole sibling psychic connection thing that you're talking about, and it's so cool that you... you have that. Okay.
Well, I had I knew that he was around me when I was a kid. So I had this, my family thought it was an imaginary friend, I think, that I knew he was my brother, and I knew he was dead, and I knew his name was William, which is funny because that's my dad's name. And I would talk to him, and I remember being kind of little, pretty small, and my mom saying, who are you talking to? And I'm like, my dead brother, William, which I don't think went down that well with my mom. I sort of remember her dropping this glass she was holding and running out of the room. and to me, it seemed really normal, but I think a lot of times when kids have imaginary friends, it's their spirit, their spirit guides or their connections around them.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
How can other people tell if they're empathic?
Well, there's a little bit of a difference between empath and psychic.
Okay.
So that's great. It's a great question. And I kind of like to define the terms this way. Intuition is something that we all have. So intuition is our inner knowing, how we know ourselves. It's we don't know why we know, it's kind of the gut knowing, I don't know why I know that's a good idea or a bad idea. Or you'll say, I don't have a good feeling about something.
Like a gut feeling.
Yeah. Gut feeling. That's our intuition. And it kind of lines up with our body, our physical body giving us information. Your body may be telling you something's not right. And I feel it in my body, in my tummy. So I feel tummy flips or, like soft belly or freaked out belly, like, so my body's constantly, that's intuition. So the body plus the, our emotion, our emotional self, which is like, I have a good feeling or a bad feeling, plus the gut knowing, it's there's really three parts, the body, the lower belly, like the feeling sense, and then the gut will all kind of come together. That's intuition, and it's our inner knowing, our inner wisdom, our own wisdom. That's intuition. Psychic is a little different. Psychic is the ability to speak. It's getting information from outside our own system. So basically our spirit guides, like whether they're angels or departed relatives or, you know, other spirit beings that are hanging around us, that's psychic. And then empath is also something different. So empaths are, it's a form of psychic gift. Empaths are like the psychic sponges, are super sensitive people who really are able to tune into how people are feeling in their emotions. So if you're an empath, you will feel other people's emotions as they're feeling them. So you, an empath could sit next to somebody who's sad, and the empath, it's not, you just like, it's not like you just notice that person is sad. You will feel sadness. You will feel it like it's your feeling. Right.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me, because I've experienced something similar to that, where whenever I'm in a room with someone and they're either happy, upset, or whatever they're feeling, I kind of pick up on that, and it could even affect me as far as, you know, feeling that way too. I always kind of took it as like a situational thing where, like, okay, this person's upset, so it's kind of like an air of upsettedness around them, and they're just dragging me down. But it could relate to perhaps being empathic.
Yeah, I think probably you are an empath. And the other part of being an empath is that sometimes, so there's emotional empathy, which is when we feel people's feelings, we're highly sensitive to other people's emotions. Then there's physical empathy, which is, physical empathy is, it's like when you put your hands on somebody or you sit next to them and you feel in your body what they're feeling in their body. Like any good massage therapist or body worker has that, they know just exactly where to put their hands on you. And I believe that those two skills together, physical empathy and emotional empathy, are the perfect like diagnostic tools for healers, that all empaths are meant to be healers, helpers, caretakers in some way, because it's like the perfect built-in MRI x-ray machine diagnostic tool for a healer.
Okay, so there are different kinds of empaths.
Yes, actually there's different kinds of perceiving. So we might perceive body things, we might perceive emotional things, and then there's those are the skills that are different, and then there's actually also a different kinds of empaths too. So there's some like the highly receptive empaths are just like the most spongy, they tend to be like artistic, they like to be in nature, they like animals and children but really don't like people. They're super introverted. There's more nurturing, caretaking empaths. That's more like what I'm like. There, where they're, you're using your this idea of empathy or the experience of empathy to feel what other people are feeling, so you can provide that for them. Because I work as a healer, I have, you know, 20 clients a week in my office doing psychic work, Reiki, energy work, all kind of combined together. So when my clients come in for a healing session, I use my empathy to feel what they need and provide it for them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last kind is like what I think of as sort of the warrior empath, and they're fighters. We wouldn't think that fighters would be empathic, but it's an incredible hunters, fighters. Think like, you know, like Xena, warrior princess, kind of that kind of fight, you know, warrior type. And they use empathy to feel out the weak spots in their opponents.
Hmm. I mean, it sounds really overwhelming, like a sensory overload kind of deal. What is good about being an empath if you're just constantly on sensory overload?
Yeah, it's really tough. And it's one of the most difficult psychic gifts, I think. And a lot of times the people who are empaths, they come into my office and they're like, turn it off, make it go away, make it stop. And because it's so painful, a lot of times empaths have problems we have. They have a depression, anxiety, and addictions are very common health problems too. And anxiety comes from being so wide open and spongy that you never really feel safe in the world. Depression comes from like sucking in everybody's misery all the time and not knowing how to clear it. And addictions will happen when we try to numb our feelings by drinking or smoking weed or whatever we're doing. Often we try to get rid of this, our sensitivity. We just want to shut it down for a little while. So it's a very challenging gift to have. Really, what's good about it is that you're a healer, helper, caretaker. You know, we're here to do service in the world. And we just really need to learn how to manage our energy in a better way, how to ground ourselves, which means being fully in our bodies, how to clear the energy that we pick up from other people, and how to be more shielded. So once we learn how to manage our energy, then we can sort of live in the world in a better way. And it's funny that before the show started, we were talking about smoking and quitting smoking. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So I hope you don't mind that I'm going to out you here.
That's
as
fine.
A smoker.
Yeah.
But a lot of times empaths smoke, and I believe that they do this because tobacco is very sacred to the native people, you know, to Native Americans. And when you blow smoke out in through your energy field, you can clear your energy field much like you would do with sage or smudge, you know.
Hmm.
So have you ever smudged yourself?
I don't think I have. I'm not sure. Can you define smudge?
So it's you take sagebrush. It's like rolled up in a little bundle and you light it. And people use this to clear, you know, I use it sometimes to clear my energy field, or to clear my healing table after I do healing work, or to clear my office after if there's been a heavy session. And it's just like aromatic smoke, like incense, basically.
Okay. All right.
You know?
Yeah.
And when we do that, it clears out our energy field. And I think a lot of times empaths find smoking to do that. So when you take it, and I'm not advocating that people should smoke as a way to manage their energy, but I understand why sensitive people do it. So you go outside, you get away from people. The first thing you do is you take a really deep breath, and then you blow this smoke, this sacred, you know, tobacco through your energy field to clear it. Right?
Okay.
It can be very grounding and clearing for people that are highly sensitive.
Hmm.
And what I notice is that when people learn other ways to ground and clear themselves, sometimes they can let go of smoking.
Okay. So an empath needs to do what to stay balanced and happy other than smoke cigarettes?
There's a couple of things that need to happen. So one of them is grounding. And grounding is one of those words that gets tossed around a lot in sort of new agey worlds. Like, I'm not very grounded, you know. And grounding, like I had a not very grounded moment the other day when I was so tired in the morning. I was in the coffee line, you know, mm-hmm. getting my coffee in the morning, and I paid, and then I drove off without my coffee.
Oh my goodness.
Right. And I had to get back in the line with my tail between my legs, and it was like 10 cars line long, the coffee line, right? So I had to get back in the line, and when I got up to the front, I'm like, I'm the person that drove off without my coffee, and they handed it to me like, uh-huh. And that's a great example of somebody not being grounded.
Okay.
You know, you're kind of out of your body a little bit. So when empaths hit that empathic overload, which you talked about, like that's when we feel this, if you're a psychic sponge and the sponge is full, you're an empathic overload, then we need to ground. So grounding can be as simple as breathing. I teach my students to do it by taking a deep breath, breathing light in the top of your head, breathing to your belly, filling your belly with light, exhaling down your legs and out the bottoms of your feet. I use like a breath and intention process to help people ground. But you can also do things like go outside, walk around, pull the weeds in your garden, you know, walk barefoot in the grass, doing ordinary things like housework, walking, exercise, eating. These are all things that are grounding when we do them intentionally.
Okay. Now,
so we need,
you
we
had
need
said,
to find,
I'm sorry. I just had a question about what you had just said.
Yeah.
You said exhale through your legs, and that
yeah.
kind of put a question mark above my head as far as, well, how do you do that?
Well, I think you imagine, it's an imagination thing, really visualizing. So you imagine, pretend to visualize light coming in the top of your head on your inhale breath. Okay. So you can imagine like there's a spotlight on your head, and when you beaming light down, and when you take a breath, you're going to bring that light into your belly and hold it there on your inhale, and on your exhale, you're going to push that light down your legs, and you can imagine that like your feet have mouths on the bottom, and you're going to exhale out the bottom of your feet.
Okay.
You know? So it's you like... could imagine like that your legs like become like roots, and they go down your feet. Become roots, and they go down like the root of a tree into the ground. That's the way a lot of people do grounding. And so when you take the exhale breath, you're going to imagine, pretend, or visualize that the energy that you have, or energy that you picked up from other people, is going to leave your system through those roots. And in energy medicine, we call that the grounding cord. That part of us that connects down from the base of our spine into the earth, that's the grounding cord.
Okay, so that's basically just meditation 101.
Kind of, yeah, it's grounding 101. And
okay.
And fortunately for us, our energy field responds really well to our visualization. So when we imagine, pretend, or visualize, our energy field responds to that.
That makes sense, I guess. You're trying to visualize it.
Yeah, so if you were to like push your feet where you are right now, if you were to push your feet into the ground and rub your feet onto the floor a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really feel like if you sit up really straight and really feel the strength of the bones of your legs and really feel the upright posture of your spine, and from there you take a deep breath into your belly. Right? You can collect all the energy you picked up from people that we often hold either in our hearts or our bellies. And on the exhale breath, you're going to imagine, pretend, or visualize that that's flowing down the bottoms through, you know, down your legs and out the bottoms of your feet into the earth, right? The earth just composts it, so it kind of knows what to do with that energy. And that is another way to clear. So not only does that ground us, but it clears us. So clearing is the other thing that we have to do. We have to ground and we have to clear. And clearing is about helping us release the energy we pick up from other people when we're sensitive. So let's say you're, you know, out and about in the world. You're at Walmart. You're in a hospital. I was just in a hospital, you know, a little while ago. My daughter was in the emergency room and I had to go there. So That's a tricky place for somebody who's sensitive like me, you know?
Right.
Because everyone there is miserable and sick and freaked out or any place where there's a lot of people. Like even the movie theaters can be hard for me when it's really full of people. And certainly like I see all these clients all day and they're, you know, we're talking about some heavy stuff. And I collect that energy that I experience throughout my day. And if I don't know how to release it, I can hold on to it. And then I don't feel well. When empaths don't know how to clear, we get fatigued. We get energy loss. We get fatigued. We feel cranky. We don't feel like ourselves, you know. And we need to release it. So we can do kind of a breath meditation, like, you know, breathing light into your belly and releasing it down your legs. I also find water to be very clearing. So taking a tubby, I'm a big fan of my tub. And if I've had a hard day's psychic work, I get in the tub with bath salts or essential oils to help clear that energetic residue. Salt is particularly good for clearing. You might do it in the shower if you don't have a tub, and just imagine that, you know, as the water's running over you, you're releasing all of that energy that you picked up. I think that's why people go to the ocean, go to the river, go jump in a lake, because water has this, you know, extremely clearing effect to our energy field.
Right. Like a cleansing quality.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. So you said that you've been empathic since you can remember. And
yep.
So having that for so long, when did you first start being a psychic in a professional aspect?
Well, there's two kind of interesting stories there. So the first moment I realized I was an empath was way, way, way back in the day before this was even a conversation anyone had. That wasn't a word that was in anyone's vocabulary. I was a college student. I was like 17 or 18 years old. And I remember going to a party And I was feeling good. I was happy. I was in a good mood. And I went into the party and I sat down next to this kid, this young man. He was having a really bad day and he was crying. He was super sad. And I was sitting next to him, listening to him talk, because people love to talk to empaths.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're an empath, everyone who's having a problem will tell you their life story.
Right.
And all of a sudden I felt terrible. I was like, oh my God, I feel awful. I'm like suicidally depressed. I'm like, I gotta go. Like what's the matter with me? Am I crazy? Like I was fine 5 minutes ago. I have to actually leave the party. So yeah. I get up, I walk away and I walk outside and I was standing on the porch of this house and I just happened to turn around and look through the window and see him sitting on the couch crying into his drink. And I felt fine. And because I got away from him, you know, I had the separation, I was outside. And in that moment, the penny dropped that it wasn't me.
Yeah.
Like that feeling wasn't me, that was him. And I was like, oh, that's a thing. That's this part of my psychic gift. That's this part of my psychic ability. That's being an empath. That was way back in 1983, way before you were born, honey.
Yeah, I was just a twinkle in my daddy's eye.
Yeah, you were just a twinkle in your daddy's eye at that point. But I was a freshman in college, and that was before there was really any, you know, conversation or, you know, words for that, right? And it wasn't very long after that. I think I was 19 or 20, and I was still in college when I started seeing clients. I don't know why I thought I could do that. I was training with another psychic who was very good. She was an excellent teacher. They called it channeling back then. It was kind of the beginning of the New Age movement. And I was like, I can do that. And I started seeing people. Okay. And I've been doing it ever since.
Wow. That's crazy stuff. I'm so intrigued by your story and what's going on here. Do you have any like super interesting stories about psychic stuff?
I had a really interesting one that happened to me not too long ago, where this woman, she works with me pretty regularly. I do Skype sessions often. She was Skyping me and I don't know, it was the end of the session. She said, do you have anything else you want to tell me? And I said, well, how's your health? And she said, it's fine. I'm perfectly healthy. And I said, well, you know, if you get a twinge, call your doctor right away. Like, don't hesitate. Really actually do it. And she said, oh, okay. Like, she didn't really know what that meant. And I don't know why I said that. I don't even know really what that meant. I just came out of opened my mouth, and that's what came out.
Hmm.
And then I talked to her, like, That was right before Christmas. So she called me. We had our next session 2 weeks ago. And it's a Skype session. So she gets on the Skype, and I see her in the headscarf people wear when they have no hair. And I'm like, my God, don't even tell me what happened. Are you in cancer treatment? And she said, yes. And she said about a week after our phone session, she was hanging out with her friend, having a play date. She's got really little kids, and she felt a twinge on the side of her breast.
Oh my goodness.
And she said it was exactly how she described the word twinge is what she came out of her mouth. She said, oh my God, this really painful twinge. And she's like, and her friend looked at her and said, call the doctor. And because I had said that to her, if you get a twinge, call the doctor, she called the doctor.
Yeah.
And the doctor, just so happened that her doctor had an appointment that day. Got her in that later that day, and they sent her for an ultrasound, and she was in the ultrasound for full, 4 hours in radiology. And then day after that, they were like, you have this incredibly aggressive cancer.
Oh, wow.
And 3 days after that, she had a double mastectomy.
Oh my goodness.
And she had radiation and therapy, and they had said if she had waited, so they found it on a Thursday, and by the next Thursday, a week later, that's when she had her mastectomy, and by then the tumor had doubled in size.
Oh wow!
And yeah, and they said if you had waited any longer, we wouldn't have been able to help you.
I'm at a loss for words because that's.
I know, I don't want to claim credit and say, and you know, I just was like, I don't even know why I said that. I don't even know why out came my mouth. If you get a twinge, call your doctor.
Yeah.
You know, and that that kind of stuff, that's, you know, it's so amazing to me. Or doing, like, I do a lot as a psychic, my specialty. I sometimes do mediumship work. It's not really my specialty. I know people who are a lot better mediums than I am, but that's always really rewarding. I think my specialty as a psychic is to really kind of look at people from the level of their soul and see what's amazing about them. I think people know what their problems are a lot, but we forget what's amazing about us. We forget what we're here to do, what our mission is, what's incredible about you. And also, we can get into our, you know, we need to work through some of our problems, but I love to talk about what's incredible about people. So that's my, what I love so much as a psychic.
That's super great stuff. I'm at a loss for words, because all of that together, and all the stuff that you said about grounding and all of that, that could be useful for people who don't have an empathic gift. Just letting go of stress in general. And I feel like we've got to know you a lot better. So thank you.
Well, thank you. It was so fun. And, I appreciate the fact that you were, you know, came out from behind the soundboard and were able to talk to me on the show tonight. So thank you, Anthony.
Thank you.
And thank all of you guys out there in Power Radio Land. Thank you. If you want to check out my website, you can come and visit me at lisacampion.com, and we'll see you next week.